PFT Media.
Today we're getting into the way of the prayer, and do they mean anything, and where does it even come from, as we check out religion here on Half True History. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is Half True History, where we take the legends of yesterday and apply them to today. I am your professor, Dan P. And of course, manning the helm here, our super producer, Chris Crespo.
What's up?
And of course, always by my side, the frankincense to my myrrh.
I know that one.
So, how's everyone doing in our COVID world?
It's today's a little rainy, but man, I'm already done with it. I'm like, let me just get it. Let me just catch it already.
Just set up for people to go in, get there, do their time, and then get out.
Yeah, it's you know what? It's not going to be serious until somebody famous dies of it. And everybody famous that's gotten it has come through. So I need a baseball player. I need
You mean famous though, because like someone just passed. Cordero is a Broadway guy and he's on TV.
Yeah, exactly, Crespo. Someone. Yeah.
I mean, he was a level celebrity.
Yeah. So level celebrity that you don't even know his name. We need a name, damn it. We need a name to fall.
I was not afraid of helicopters until a name.
Idris Elba. Idris Elba got it? Cured. Chris Cuomo got it? Cured. The Hanks got it? Cured. Who else got it? A couple basketball players got it? Cured.
Gobert says he's still sick.
You still got it?
Gobert's still sick. He still has lingering effects.
Ooh.
Hey, he just doesn't want to play basketball because they
hate him. It's possible.
They hate him. Because homeboy got it and is about to get cleared to play in the bubble, in the NBA bubble, which is amazing. The Miami Marlins got like 10 dudes with coronavirus. They're about to like cancel that whole baseball season. Baseball's so stupid. They could have done a bubble or figured something out, but no, they want to play in their own little stupid stadiums. I need somebody to go. Somebody got to go.
With virtual fans, you see the virtual fans in the stands. Some of them are doing cardboard cutouts, but some of them are inserting fans via TV.
You could pay $7 or $17 or something like that if you want to put your image on the stands, which is weird because I'm like, I'm not paying $17 to be on the last row.
I'm gonna pay $17 to still not be there.
Yeah, I already downloaded that mod for SmackDown to put myself in the audience.
Oh, did you? You're out there doing the Undertaker lost face.
Yep.
All right. What are we covering today, Daniel?
We're going to talk a little bit about God today.
Oh, wow. This is a heavy one.
Come to Jesus, Pedro.
Kind of more of the origins and kind of tying into the early associations. I really don't want it to be a theological debate. Okay. You know, I'm I am not a religions major. I don't have a degree, so I'm not going to get too much into a lot of scripture per se in different religions. Okay. But we are going to look at some of the historical events and tie to the like some of the significances in each of these early religions that we
look at.
Okay. So, here we go there. Pedro, are you a man of belief?
No.
Yeah.
I wish I was. I wish I had, I don't want to say faith, because I do have some faith in humanity kind of deal. But.
You kind of want that type of mysticism?
I'm agnostic. I'm not atheist. It's weird, because I'm like, I believe there's something. It's just, I don't think it's what.
Right.
What's been out there, because it's just so many, it's just too many different variations of the same thing.
It's too unknowable to say, like, I know exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's some people, and I don't fault them. If you believe, I don't think any less of you. Right. I kind of feel like I wish I could be in that boat of having that belief system, some level. You know what I mean? Like.
Right.
But nah, it just never got to me.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried. My mother used to take us to different churches and stuff like that, because you know we're baptized Catholic. But my mom was very open minded, and she goes, you know, we'll try different churches. And the reason we were trying different churches is because my brother was in halfway houses. Because he got in trouble with drugs when he was younger. And so he would get assigned to different churches in Puerto Rico. Mostly the born again, blah, blee, 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 blah. Which is where I learned all my bad habits from. I learned how to make like a straight up slingshot with a thick rubber band and a broomstick. And we would shoot rocks into the expressway.
Well then.
Yeah. And I learned that from the pastor's kid while my mother's attending PKs. To my brother.
No, PKs. I grew up in the church. PKs are the worst. If you want to hang out with the bad kids, those are the PKs, man.
Yeah, dude. Those are evil bastards right there.
Yeah, pastor's kids. That's well known within church communities. I grew up in the church. I grew up within a lot of that Protestant and then evangelical stuff. So I was like a pretty hardcore believer.
When did you lose it? When did you lose?
College.
College?
Yeah. When my bubble got burst. And I met other people.
Your first joint? And your first joint? The first.
No, like, no, man. Like, you, all that stuff came in church, too. Like, church doesn't... That stuff does not exclude that world. No, but when I met, like... I mean, my first gay friend. Then I met someone who's like, oh, you're Jewish? Oh, the Jewish people exist? Stuff like that. They're not just in the Bible.
Yeah.
I burst that bubble, and it was a good thing.
I think I was 12, 11 or 12. I got kicked out of communion class.
Because
I kept asking questions.
Yep.
And they got tired of my questions. And my question was, in the Bible, they go into the whole breakdown of Adam and Eve, and they had kids, and then when Cain and Abel, and then, you know, Cain kills Abel. And then he gets banished. And then he hooks up with some chick. I'm like, where did that chick come from?
Right.
Yo, that used to drive the nuns crazy. And they never could answer the question. And I was stuck with it. And I got kicked out for being a disturbance.
Mm-hmm.
So I never got my communion.
Oh, no. That's not good, Pedro.
No, I'm in purgatory. But that's why I couldn't get married in a Catholic church in New York, because I didn't have my communion.
Oh.
Yeah, so we went Episcopalian because $700 and you're in.
And you still get the incense.
They're the cool Catholics.
They're so cool.
How about you, Dan?
I grew up Episcopalian.
Hey, speaking of, there you go.
Yeah, I grew up Episcopalian. And then I think around college, you know, I had been doubting things ever since I was as a teenager. But by college, I was able to kind of figure out, take a lot of religion courses, then kind of figure out spiritually where I wanted to go with that. So
yeah, sure.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big question. It can be a big question existentially, where you are with your belief and stuff. I'm jealous of the people who are just like, I believe one thing, like whether I believe in God or I'm an atheist or whatever. Like, it's so black and white and simple.
Right.
But I have questions on everything. It's like, you know.
And that's what, I mean, the questions have been around, as we know, since the beginning of time. These are always, you know, questions of creation, questions of death and everything like that have always been tried to be answered through mysticism because it could not be understood by the human mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting with all of this is we're gonna do our focal point here, of course, on Christianity, because I think that's the one all three of us are the most familiar with, and just in general, it's the, I don't know how to properly say it, but it's the one, I guess, most known. It's still the majority religion in the world, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to branch out and kind of see the connections between this Abrahamic God and the religions all around the world around the same time that were being formed.
Okay.
Because that is what is truly amazing. Around the year 500 BCE, it's the beginning of the classical period. And it's an explosion of ideas all around the world. So it's very interesting. We're looking at philosophies in China. You know, Sun Tzu and Confucius are writing their Analects and their Art of War in around 500 BC. Okay. 100 years later, Siddhartha Gautama, the Buddha, starts coming up with his message of charity and everything like that. Around 500 BCE, we start to see a major movement of the Hebrew tribes in the Middle East. At the same time, it's the Greek civilizations are starting to come up, Athens and such, and Persia and Zoroastrianism. So it's this explosion of ideas and culture and empire and religion in one time frame.
So, what triggered it?
Well, you know, I mean, there's plenty of things that are, you know, theories. But my biggest theory was that trade started to happen more often between the civilizations and empires. By 500 BCE, the Silk Road is just starting. The trade path through China and India into the Middle East. So, you know, when you trade goods, you also trade ideas. And, you know, we don't really know, but it's, I always like to think that the development of trade is what starts these religions, starts these experiences here. And what's interesting about it is that they all have the golden rule. Now these are
the be kind to each other rule.
Right. Do unto others as you would want done unto you, or in some
place. It's a pretty good rule. I mean, it's pretty hard to argue against it, I think.
Except if you're a female.
Oh, yeah.
I don't get it.
Well, they're all big dick swinging at that point, too.
Yeah.
Oh, back then?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Remember, all the good stuff happened to men. Women are like, no.
I mean, on the basis. I mean, yeah, like, yeah, no. I mean, like, as in theory, no one practices the golden rule. It's sad.
Right. But yeah, it's do unto others as you would want done unto you, which is the more popular Christian version. Don't do any evil to, or else evil shall come to you, is kind of the Buddhist belief there. In Confucianism, it's the hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil type of thing going on. And again, it's the same thing. Treat others as you would like to be treated in Confucianism. As you treat others, you shall be treated. So this golden rule is showing up in all these religions. And it's not just, oh, well, we also had a good idea of treating people well. This is like rule number one for most of these religions. Or like considered this the high point of the enlightened point of these religions. is the belief of treating others as you would like to be treated. So it gives rise to this belief that there had to be some kind of trade. I mean, or this, I mean, there's always that possibility that seven religions started up around the same time and all had the same ideas of how to form. But it's a little bit weird to think that, you know? So, but I mean, that's one of the things that comes up. That's a common theme amongst all of them. And another one that you find interesting is that, again, there have always been destroyer and creator gods. There's always a belief of a destroyer god and a creator god ever since the early African tribes in the Paleolithic, Neolithic era. You know, we've gone back to places like the Chumash and the Sao, who believe in Gawa or Gauna, the creator god. So, you know, it's not uncommon for these religions to have their kind of belief in creation through mystical energy or mystical force here.
And you said a creator god and a destroyer god?
There's always some kind of destroyer god, but depending on the culture, that god can be evil or beneficiary.
Okay.
Necessary, right? Like, Shiva is the Hindu god of resurrection and death and destruction, but it's necessary. Mm-hmm. It's like when you have to prune the bad plants so that the new plants can flower.
Circle of life type of stuff.
Right. Whereas more in a monotheistic world, we kind of look at destroyer gods as more of an evil thing.
Mm-hmm. So what about the god that releases the locust and the plague and kills your firstborn? Doesn't that dude classify as an evil one, or is he just like the Punisher? It's a good anti-villain, anti-hero god.
According to the lecture, it's because he loved us.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Technically, you're describing the creator god, but he was having a bad day.
He's the right. Creator of destruction. It's very.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then there's the so there's other little things mentioned. I also want to get into well, when we think of the evil in Christianity, we automatically think of which figure?
Satan.
Right. This Lucifer, Morningstar.
El Diablo.
Right.
Beelzebub.
Mm-hmm. And what's the story, if you guys think? Like, what's the story behind him?
Fallen angel.
Angel.
He wanted to be God. Challenge God. Lost.
Right. And what was the big issue that they were fighting over, do you guys know? Or most mythos?
Pumpkin spice.
He wanted to give man more, like, knowledge or more power or something.
It's that belief, like, he was not willing to just blindly serve the humans and whatnot. And so, mm-hmm. through that, and again, he tried the rebellion through heaven and cast down.
Yeah.
And it's a popular thing, but the biggest part is that he is also known as the Light Bringer, right? He was at once God's favorite angel, big guy, et cetera, and then is cast down. Mm-hmm. And now in charge of the underworld or whatever. Or in prison in the other world, depending on your religion. Now, what I want to focus on that is interesting, is because we see this story before, and it all focuses on light and how light is seen or how light is produced. So, again, I'll cruise you guys a little bit on your mythologies here. What other person was punished in another religion for associated with light?
In another religion,
another mythos. Mm. If you recall.
To being associated with light?
Associated with light and also punished.
Who stole the fire?
Yes.
Prometheus
in the Greek, right?
Yeah.
Now here we are again, 500 BC, same time that that the Hebrew nation is really starting to bring form to their monotheistic beliefs. And now you have a champion of the humans, and he brought fire from the gods down to the humans to help them advance, and because of that was punished by the gods.
Mm-hmm. So he brought light to the people.
Right.
Interesting.
Whereas one interpreted as rebellion and evil, the other one is interpreting as advancement of mankind.
Those stories, I mean, they weren't developed concurrently, were they? I guess it's just that these stories are told over and over through time. Right. So depending on the context, the same events are either positive or negative.
Exactly. We don't even know when these stories were written down. We only know when those civilizations started to rise and get noticed.
Hmm. It's
crazy. We even know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't stop there. There's a small group of believers in the Middle East even today called the Yazidi. And the Yazidi have this kind of mystical Islam, if you will. And they believe in an angel called Malek Tus.
Oh.
Okay? The peacock angel. He was beautiful of angels.
Yeah.
And he also defied God and was cast down.
Ooh.
Right?
I think we've talked about this one before.
We have.
And I like that one.
Yeah. And in their version, his tears eventually quelled the flames of hell. And he is.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But he's a peacock.
Right. So we have still this peacock, though. Again, he was considered this light, this holy. And again, we see this cast down once again. One more we got, too, that's associated with light. If we go up north into northern Europe, what is the treacherous god?
Loki?
Loki. And have you heard of Loki's punishment?
No. I only know Loki from either
Avengers.
That one, and from Vikings, and then from and now from playing God of War.
Right. Well, as you know, Thor is not Odin's favorite son. He's just the most powerful. Odin's favorite son was Baldur. And Baldur was the most beautiful, and he shined, and he was the god of light. And Loki, through trickery during a competition, basically killed Baldur. Made it look like an accident, but killed Baldur. And for his punishment, he was chained to a rock where a serpent would drip poisonous venom on his face for all time.
Whoa!
Yeah, that was Loki's terrible. Punishment?
That was Loki's punishment.
But it was just dripping the venom.
Right.
Like the Chinese... the drip. Yeah.
Right.
And, water torture.
Your pores getting into your eyes and such and just burning you slowly throughout time.
Ugh. Forever and ever?
Forever and ever. But again, here we... Again, another traitor cast down... Lights associated with it.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's just really interesting how all these ideas are showing up around the same time through connections. You know, you can take it in a more scientific route, which is, of course, is the trade, you know. Or if you want a spiritual route, you know, maybe there is some universal entity that presents itself to different cultures because it knows that all cultures are different type of thing. So, I mean, who knows? I definitely don't know that for sure. But, you know.
I feel it's like a grapevine kind of thing.
Yeah.
One story that was told, and it just gets passed on, and, you know, they trade, they probably said it, and the guy's, yo, that's a cool story. Let me share that story. You all know right. What? I'm going to make it my own story. Let me bring it to my village. And ba 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 ba. And here we are in quarantine.
Yep, and there we go. And another thing that, yeah, ties them all in, you know, the Bible is not the only reference to a great flood. That was the great flood and putting animals on a big barge and saving them. That's a story in the Epic of Gilgamesh from Sumeria. That was an epic that was written, I would say, about...
Wait, somebody stole that story?
Oh, yeah. The Great Flood is an old Sumerian text from about 3000 BC.
Plagiarism, man.
Wait.
It's rampant.
So Noah's Ark's not real? They found pieces.
I mean, I'm sure they found pieces of a boat somewhere.
Hey, man, they're building a replica of it in the middle of the country. It has to be real.
Are they for real?
Yeah, that guy that built that creation museum, part of the exhibit is like the ark itself.
How big is this ark? Like the size of the Mall of America?
I think it's like the size of a BJ's warehouse.
Well, you're not gonna have enough animals for that, bro.
There were less animals back then.
Well, we got less now.
Yeah.
There were dodos back then.
We lost the white rhino, right? The white rhino's extinct.
Right, yeah, the white rhino.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rest in paradise, white rhino.
But, you know, it all coordinates. So there definitely was probably a flood at some point in that Middle Eastern region. Most likely it was the Tigris and Euphrates River at the time during a climate change swelling up and taking out a good number of people during another big climate change.
Ended that, the there you go. Spewing your science shit. It was a god that brought the destruction to punish the... They're probably doing abortions or some shit during that time. And God punished them with that.
They were dancing. They were gambling.
The climate? Get out of here, Daniel. Take that shit off the table.
And the story of Gilgamesh ends with the flood ending, and the gods who were impressed with Gilgamesh's courage promised to never flood again and gave him this necklace or bracelet of many jewels as a promise. Hmm. And what does that sound like if you know the story of the ark?
Andrew, you don't know?
No.
That's the rainbow god. Supposedly the rainbow in the sky is God being like, all right, guys, we're cool now. I'll never flood you again. Except for that one time in New Orleans, I guess.
I was about to do an Avengers joke, like the gauntlet that Thanos had with the different jewels.
That's the next one. That's the next level.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there you go. It was basically, you know, it's a rainbow in the Christian world, but you know, it's nothing more than, you know, it's a pride bracelet over in Sumeria. So
that's awesome.
Right, but these little things, Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden is probably an analogy for just how fertile the crescent was in the Mesopotamia in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And being cast out from the garden was recorded that there was an extremely, as the weather was changing, that's when the Middle East started to get arid and hot and dry. And crops in those areas failed and they had to move and go someplace else, the people.
And then it became, since they needed a reason to explain why everything was failing around them. Mm-hmm. They couldn't explain it.
No, you gotta do it this thing.
It's gotta be something.
You know, and the old Jewish word for Yahweh, for God, was Yahweh. And we see texts even further back that names of deities that sound very similar to Yahweh were being used back in the days of Ur and Sumeria. So there's always that possibility that God started out, the Abrahamic God that we know of, started out as one of the minor gods in another religion. Just like how Tupac started with Digital Underground.
Oh, great analogy.
Yeah, people forget. You gotta start somewhere.
Yeah.
So there you know. I mean, God's doing backup to the Humpty Dance at first to get his career going.
Yeah. You can see him in the background of Nothing But Trouble.
Right.
If you look closely, you can see God back there dancing.
Yeah, and you can do so many, like, analogies. You look at the Native American religions, you know, a lot of them are, you know, they worship sky gods and river gods and, you know, the Great Buffalo Woman or something like that. And they have that, the very nature gods, you know, and you think to yourself, well, that's so different from Abraham, you know, the theistic. But it's not so much different than the humans that are settling. That belief in nature gods, that's happening in Mongolia right now. The Mongols have a god of the sky, Tengri, and a mother of the ground and everything like that. So, you know, and we know that they moved from Asia across the Bering Sea into North America.
Mm-hmm. So that makes sense. And they would bring it over from then Asia to North America, the polytheistic.
Right.
I like that too. Just like I'm jealous of people who are like, they have that hardcore belief. I also wish I did believe in like polytheism, because it seems easier to like, oh man, I don't have to worry so much about God having all of it, because I just got like this one God here, this one God there. They're all doing their jobs.
Yeah, you know the Vikings. I mean? The Vikings. I like the Viking gods.
Yeah, they split them up too. Yeah, I think it's cool.
Yeah,
you got to. You have to with the departmentalize. You have to tell people what they're good at.
Yeah. Odin's the head guy, but you know, he has, you know, the different ones to deal with war and
but even, got a cabinet.
Farming and shit like that, yeah.
But even that doesn't change in Christianity. You know, keep saying one God, right?
But we got saints.
You got saints, you got angels.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So we've got our king of the gods, but you also have, you know, Michael and his flaming sword.
Mm-hmm. Peter at the gate, stuff like that.
Or Allah, you know, whatever. So we're still, they're still being created. We're still polytheistic, but I guess in a more structured hierarchy.
I gotcha. That's good. All right. You got me.
Mm-hmm. So it's still there. And again, it's in the Chinese believe in multiple gods. The Japanese, multiple gods. Hindus, multiple gods. And the Hindus are interesting because they believe in all these different types of gods, but they're all connected to the one spiritual force, which is Brahma.
Mm-hmm.
So Brahman is the universe, and all the gods are still part of Brahman, just a greater part of him than the regular humans, if you can get all that. So once again, we have lesser gods. We have a big guy on top, or whatever, littler, powerful guys, and then the common rabble. Gods, demigods, mortals.
Big over God takes little God.
Yeah. Over and over again. So, I mean, that's just what's so cool. And we could go on religion forever and relating it to history like that.
Yep, and we can get into an argument and split up and
eventually
kill each other.
Right. Yeah, get to fight over it.
Yeah.
The Hindu belief of reincarnation, the fact that when you die, your soul becomes a part of something else and you constantly rebirth until your energy merges and becomes part of the universe.
But I mean, do you have to be buried or can you be cremated?
Cremated is the way to do it in Hinduism.
Okay.
But that's no different than a lot of science today talking about the transfer of energy. Energy can never be destroyed. It can always just change form and move somewhere.
Well, that's what Neil deGrasse Tyson was saying. He'd rather be buried so that way the energy gets fed off to different things.
Right.
But if you are cremated, your energy just
goes well, back
into the sky.
They believed the smoke was going into the ether back then.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the transfer of energy. So even, you know, so even science is based on, or not based on, obviously, but even science is ringing at close to what some of the guys were thinking of trying to explain what happened in this universe. So it's really interesting for all that. And of course, you could do this forever, but it's just a little light touch. I wanted to get on a few of them, but some of the historical events and some of the historical thoughts are all kind of similar around this time. The classical age is amazing.
Cool.
It's crazy. Parallel thinking, but also ideas going around trade routes and stuff. It's crazy.
Yep, and still kill each other over the same idea, just different characters.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, that's. I think we've inspired enough people's souls for this episode.
See you on church on Sunday.
That's right. As always, please check us out, Half True History, and all the social media that we have out there. Check out all of the PFT family, which are still going strong. Everyone's still recording right now, right, Chris?
Everyone's still recording. Everyone go to pftmedia.com to check out all the shows we've got going on. Yeah, still going strong.
All right. Well, everyone, you know, stay safe out there, as always. And for myself and Crespo and Pedro Lima, we thank you for listening to Half True History. We'll see you on the next page.
Be safe.
In the sky, hell does not wait for our downfall. Let the voice of reason shine. Let the pious vanish. God traces him all unseen. You can ask him what it all means. He was never on your side. God was never on your side. Let right and wrong alone decide. God was never.
A PFT Media production.